Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today's guest is Flo Pereira. She is from Argentina, but now based in New York City, and she is a Latin creator. So I'm so excited to speak to her. She's also a mom, and that's how we bonded recently. But hi, how are you? Welcome. And how are you doing this morning, Flo?
Hi, everyone, and thank you for having me, Marianne. Really like finally being part of your podcast.
Yes, I love the yellow, by the way. I feel like today's a good day to bring in some like sunshine. But why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself to my listeners? Tell us who you are and your relationship with New York City.
Yes, so my name is Flor, which is actually short for Florencia, which is Florencia is like a very popular name. Where I was born in Argentina, and I grew up most of my life over there, close to Buenos Aires, which is the capital of Argentina. And in 2016, I moved to New York. At the time, my then boyfriend, now husband, he was here for work. So after being in a long distance relationship for like 2-3 years, we decided to, okay, let's try to be together, like living together. And also thinking about like doing content creation full time. So we lived here together from 2016 to 2019. Then we were in Germany for 2 years and then came back to New York at the end of 2021.
That is so interesting. Yeah. Yeah, no, because I was born and raised here. So New York City is kind of all I know. Of course, I travel, but it's always so like to be on the other side to hear people like dream of coming or booking a one-way ticket is fascinating to me. So I would love to know, like, from your perspective, was that a scary move or was that more exciting?
It was, I would say, scary and exciting. I at the time that I moved, I used to live in Buenos Aires and work there. So I feel like as a city, Buenos Aires is like a large city, maybe not to the point of New York, but it's huge. And in that sense, I feel like you still get the city life over there and the city life over here. I think the biggest change for me was that I graduated as a lawyer back in Argentina and I was working as such almost for 10 years. So coming to New York was not only switching cities, but also switching jobs, like leaving my job as a lawyer to do content creation full time. So I feel like that was like the biggest change probably. And coming to a city to do something that I've been doing as a hobby on the side and not really knowing anyone, you working in content creation, you know, like sometimes how important it is to have contacts or have friends from a college or from any stage of life and how that might open some doors. And for me, it was like starting from scratch because I knew basically no one here.
Okay, wait. I had no idea that you were a lawyer back in Argentina. Yeah. What kind of lawyer were you?
So I graduated more as I would say like a business lawyer. I worked in labor law, so everything to do with employment and any work conflicts or things like that. And then I worked as a bank lawyer. So I'm working for a bank, loans and payments and relationship with clients or companies.
So to clarify, when you were a lawyer in Argentina, you started doing like social media and content creation as a hobby.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then
go ahead.
No. And then when you came here, you decided to pursue it full time or?
Yeah. Because I at the time when I was like thinking about moving, I like my profession, like I like being a lawyer as like as a whole, but I didn't like my job at the time in particular. That was like not very fun and didn't allow me to be creative in any sense. And I was doing content creation on the side, basically because when I graduated, I started my blog. And I don't know, at first it was like having fun, as I feel like most people who started a blog, like in 2010, as I did, were doing, you were not thinking about it as a job. Like the whole idea of content creation didn't exist, or even being an influencer. We were bloggers back then, or maybe if you did YouTube, you were a YouTuber. So it was more like, okay, I like posting my daily outfits, or I talk about the fashion shows that I didn't attend. I just saw the photos on the internet. So with time, I feel like brands started to realize that these bloggers, these normal people had this like really close relationship with an audience, and they could serve the brand in order to launch products and things. So I started having some paid jobs back in Argentina, some like brand opportunities and some press trips. So I was like, okay, maybe I could do this like full time. And at the same time, I thought, okay, maybe New York has like more opportunities in that sense, because there are like more brands here. I feel like people and companies in general, even back like 10 years ago, were like more, more into content creation and influencers, even before maybe other cities or countries. And also, I could not work as a lawyer here if I didn't do a master's. So if I wanted to like completely like switch just cities and not careers, I had to go through a master's, which is like really expensive. And then it was like, do I really want to do that? So I was like, okay, let's try this content creation thing and see where that leads me. And then we'll see. I am a person that thinks that you get like many lives if you want, you know, that it's not that, I feel like it's really hard when you're like 16 or 17 to choose a career that you're going to pursue for the rest of your life. It sounds like scary and like a lot. So I really celebrate when people decide to switch careers in their 20s or the 30s or 40s. Because I feel like if you can, of course, I know it's a privilege, but if you can, I feel like it's great to be able to do something different or to switch paths or something like that.
I'm like smiling from ear to ear because I literally had this conversation with like a friend the other day. And I truly believe that like our lives, it's not just one path. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to see that and say like, I can live like five lives in one, right? And that can be switching careers, switching geographic locations, which is a huge thing. You're like honestly uprooting your whole life, everything that you know, to be in a different environment. And that is so scary. And I think that by adopting that mindset, it helps people to see if they're stuck or if they, you know, got like laid off from a job or like have any what appears to be failures in life as a way to say like, okay, now I can reset and refresh and do something else. And there's so many opportunities, especially in a city like New York. And of course, I know it's easier said than done, because when you're in that moment, it can be really, really hard to see that other side. But the fact that you've embraced that, I love it. And I want to dive deeper into that. Like, where do you think that mindset comes from? Do you think it was from childhood? Has it always been kind of your personality and outlook to see the brighter side in life? Was there like a moment? Like where?
So I feel like I come from a family, like my close family and like my extended family. Everyone's pretty traditional. So no one has really moved much like from their hometowns, from where they were born or things like that. So I don't really think that I got it from like my family in general. And I'm a person that loves plans, you know, like knowing what's going to happen in the next hour or the next day, next week, and so on. So I feel like I was not the kind of person to be like pack up my life and move somewhere else. It was more like feeling that I was not happy with my life. that I was like having a rough time, and knowing that sometimes you have these opportunities to change your life or do something different that maybe they do not present twice, or knowing that you can always go back to what you know and what you have and where your family or your friends might be living, but maybe you won't always have the energy or the time to maybe move somewhere else. So I feel I had to do more with that, with thinking, if I don't do it now, then when? And also thinking that I know it might be considered selfish by some people, but I feel like we all have like the right to be happy in a way. Like life should be about, like, of course there are going to be like hard moments, and there are going to be times where everything is not fun and enjoyable. But if you can do something that like moves you more towards what happiness means to you, I feel like you should try to do that if you have the chance.
I mean, yeah, people can say selfish, but I feel like who wouldn't choose to be happy, and why wouldn't you choose to be happy? I think that is not necessarily the main goal in life, but definitely something that makes life easier if you're happy, for sure. And I also love the fact that you said, like, kind of, you can always go back, right? It's like, instead of wondering what ifs, like, just do it, because then you know, like, okay, that didn't work out for me. And when you realize that things don't work out for you, it's also one step bringing you closer to what will work out for you. So I just love your mindset. And I feel like when I hear you speak, again, you have this like very like positive outlook on life. But can you recall like a low moment or the biggest struggle in your either personal life or career thus far?
Yeah, I think so. Right before moving, I had a dog, which I don't know, for some people, dogs are dogs. But for me, it was like, okay, he's like my firstborn child, and he passed away like being very young, like being a year old. So that was like a pretty like sad, very sad moment in my life, and very traumatic. So I think that also like triggered me wanted to be somewhere else, because I didn't want to deal or be in the places where I had this like beautiful life. But sometimes I feel like, yeah, like pain and suffering and like having a hard time can push you towards the direction that you were like, okay, too scared to take that step. And then when something like that happens, you're like, okay, tomorrow is like not guaranteed, so I should take this leap now, which I feel like maybe for a lot of people happened like during COVID, like the peak COVID times, or after that, like thinking, okay, if I don't do this trip that I've been postponing for ages, maybe I won't be here tomorrow, or whoever I'm taking this trip with won't be here tomorrow. And also like being here in the city sometimes, although I was like very happy to be in New York because it's been my favorite city for many, many years. I feel like I was trying to like do a lot to get more opportunity to meet more people. But of course it can be hard sometimes, like seeing that, I don't know, you lack a lot of things, you know, you lack the experience. Maybe some people that were doing content creation came from like a magazine background, or people that studied communications or fashion at school, and I didn't have that. So I feel like, yeah, you always, maybe not always, but you people in general, we all tend to like get frustrated or sad about things. I feel it's more about how you, what you do with that, you know? If you're frustrated, if you envy someone's career or life, is it like, are you doing something about it? Like, I'm a person that really believes that sometimes envy, even though it's like a generally like bad feeling, can really guide you towards your real feelings, you know? If you are like, oh, I really envy that person, you're like, okay, but why, you know? It's like, is it their lives? Is it that they have a partner for many years? Is it that they have a kid and you want that? Is it the house? I don't know, the career. I feel like it really like helps you sometimes to realize what you really want, and maybe you're like not willing to admit that.
No, that's very insightful. And I feel like it's very similar to triggers, whether that's like in a relationship, in a job or a friendship or life in general. Like you said, sometimes envy can be looked as negative and so can triggers, right? Nobody likes to be triggered. It's one of the most frustrating feelings, but triggers are just a way like to reflect kind of what areas that you need healing on or things that still bother you. And the same thing with envy. And I have to admit, and we can segue this into talking about motherhood, but I think once I became a mom, obviously the newborn stage was kind of a nightmare and just super stressful. Yeah. But there were times when I was envious of what I saw on Instagram. And I've talked about this in a previous episode about the moms who have these like huge houses, you know, like we're New Yorkers. We do not have that. Or people who have a separate playroom for their child. Like, I don't have that. Our living room is the playroom. And I noticed there were moments when I was comparing and feeling like, why am I not this, you know, like superstar mom? Like I'm trying my best and I'm really struggling. And other people who are more privileged, and it's not their fault. Like there's no, you know, ill feelings towards that. But I had to reflect back and try to find like gratitude in like my own life and how I'm being. And I read this quote about, you know, like children, they're not going to grow up remembering how clean their house was or how big their house was. They're going to remember the moments that they shared with their mom and dad and like the little, you know, things that are just, I don't know, that are pure happiness. And it's not about everything else surrounding. So yeah, I want to talk about kind of now that you're a mom, how has your outlook changed on life with social media? Do you get envious? Like, tell me about your transition.
So I, to be honest, like when it comes to like motherhood and stuff, I don't feel envious towards other people. Of course, I feel like most people, we always want to have like a bigger house, as you mentioned, or, you know, have more money, because I feel like that's like something normal to maybe want at some point in your life. But I don't really like see other people and get really envious about their lives or how they're like dealing with motherhood, because I feel like being a mom, and I feel like you might feel the same, you know how much goes behind the scenes that even those people that you might think or see through social media that they have the perfect life, maybe it's not really like that. We tend to show like the happy moments. Like Instagram is definitely like a highlights reel where you usually post the best things that happen, but we also know that there's like a lot of struggle behind that, and some people decide not to show that struggle. So you might be envious of a life that it's not really what it looks like. I feel like it also has to do with people that maybe judge like how someone is mothering or how someone is like parenting in general, when you really don't get the full picture. Like unless you live with someone like 24/7 or like really, really close, and you spend like many, many hours of the day with them, you really don't know what parenting for that person looks like, because you don't really know what really happens like behind the scenes. And even like a happy picture with someone could not mean that they're really happy or loving in real life. And then the other way around, like someone that maybe shares a lot about their struggles, they could be the best parent out there, and they're just being honest and sharing the lows instead of maybe the highs, because they just want to be realistic, and that's like their way of being.
No, I totally agree. And I wanted to clarify or kind of, yeah, clear what I was saying. I'm not envious now. I think I was saying that before I became a mom or when I was pregnant. I don't know about you, but my whole feed was, I mean, my like Explore was very much filled with like nursery, because that's what I was focusing on. And I wanted to like have this beautiful aesthetic, you know, like room. And then I realized like afterwards, you don't even spend time in there. You're you know, at least for me, my baby was in a bassinet in my room. But I think it created these unrealistic expectations that then when I was going through it, I don't know if it was envy, but it was this disconnect of kind of like what my life really is and how I saw other people living and kind of, yeah, just like a little confused. But again, I'm a first time mom. Like now I know going in, if I have a second one, what that will look like. Right. But I 100% agree.
No, of course. You see all these beautiful nurseries and it's like, oh, I would love to have that. Yeah. And you realize you don't have the square footage to have that. Yeah. You know?
Like, and it's like, yep. You can only maintain that kind of like for the first month at max. And then it's kind of just, you know, like you don't necessarily fold clothes, just put it in there. It's just, it's just funny how social media works. But I guess for you, because you've been, I guess, in the industry for a while, how have you navigated the changes now that you are a mom?
I don't know. Every day it's like you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. I feel like if you're a mom or if you're not. But in my case, when I was pregnant and people would ask me mainly two questions. One of them was like, are you going to become like a motherhood account and giving tips about motherhood? And the other one was, are you going to show your child on social media? Those were like the two main questions that you probably got them as well. And probably most people that have like a social media presence. And so what I feel like I felt when I was pregnant and I still feel it like right now is that my account and my platforms have always been about me, even if that sounds like very ego, but no, it's always about my perspective. You know, I share about what I like about New York, what I don't like about New York, my experience moving, my experience living in New York City, my experience when I travel, and the skincare products I like, or the makeup, or New York Fashion Week, but everything is like from my perspective. Mm-hmm. So I do share some things about motherhood and about my daughter's like development and how she's growing, but it's always like from my perspective and not trying to really give out tips, because I'm like, I'm a first-time mom. I probably don't know a thing. And I'm all the time like reading either blogs or websites or other Instagram accounts about what should I feed her or what should I do with her or like developmental like milestones. So I don't think that I'm the expert, to be honest. And at the same time, with social media and like kids and minors, I know it's like a whole big thing, you know, about what you do about them and people that basically cannot consent to being online. So I don't know if there's like a perfect answer to that. I feel like everyone does what they feel is best. And I'm sure you and lots of parents are like wondering, okay, what should I do? And I feel like for me, it's like showing like bits of our life and not everything that's out there. I really like get a hard time when I see like other people posting their kids crying or having a tantrum or having a hard time. That's not something that I enjoy. So I try to avoid doing that. But yeah, trying to like balance and in a way, like still being me, even though like at one point when I started, I was like a law student and then maybe I was a lawyer and then I was like half time, like doing like content creation and then like a full time content creation and like up living in a new city and then moving countries again. So it's like the concept, I think it's always been me. So I still try to like balance that and like my interests and my life. And now part of that is like being a mom, but I'm like still like trying to say like, it's not everything. Like you're a mom, but you're still like 100 of other things. So I think like trying to showcase that.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I do personally struggle with that because my son is such a big part of my life. Every single day, obviously, I'm with him. If I'm home, especially, and I'm just with him and I'm not doing anything else, or I'm not doing skincare or like I'm not getting ready, I feel like the only content I can share is about him. But I don't want all of my stories about him, or like it's not his account, right? It's my account. Yeah. But it is hard. So I would love to know what has been the biggest lesson that motherhood has taught you.
I feel like something that I've heard quite a lot when I was like in the first like stages of motherhood, and it's a quote that's been going around everywhere, we probably heard about it, which is, the days are long but the years are short. And I remember we got a mug that said that quote, and I was like, probably, I don't know, like maybe 2 or 3 months postpartum. And I was like crying, you know, because it was like, it felt so real, because especially when your baby is like a newborn, mm-hmm. it is hard. You're struggling. You're like trying to patch yourself. You went like through a lot for 9 or 10 months. And then whatever that delivery was, you went through a lot again. And now you have to take care of someone that's so little, and at the same time trying to take care of you, trying to take care of your partner, of your relationship, of your house, of like a million things. And it can feel like very overwhelming and like never ending. And like sometimes you're like, okay, when am I going to like be okay, or when everything is going to go back to normal or something like that. And I feel like in the very like first few weeks or few months after having a baby, we, or at least most people, I think, are like struggling to balance everything going on in your life. And this quote was like very moving at the time, being like, okay, yeah, days are sometimes like hard, and days can be, well, you can be struggling and you can be dealing with a lot of stuff, and they feel really long sometimes. It's like, oh, I cannot believe like it's still like 4 p.m you know.
Yeah.
But then time really flies, and when you realize your baby is like, oh, they're 1 year old now, so a whole year has gone by. So I feel it's like, what I think about that quote is like, yes, days sometimes can be long and things can be stressful and tiring and all that. But at the same time, it's like those little moments or little few hours or couple hours that you have with your kid are like little core memories that you're building with, I mean, in your brain, but also in a way, the relationship that you're building with your child. And the time really does fly by. And when you realize they're a year old, they're going to be 2, and then one day they're going to be going to school, and I don't know, then at some point going maybe to college if they want, or starting a job, moving to a different city. So I feel like it's about like really cherishing those memories, those moments that you might be having with your child. And yeah, they're going to be hard ones, but like, just like try to know that even the hard ones, they're not going to last forever, and that, yeah, you need to like enjoy the little moments.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I think I definitely heard that quote when I was going through the newborn stage, but also when you're in the newborn stage, because, you know, you're running on like zero sleep, it's really hard to take that in, at least for me. Everybody told me that, like, enjoy it, you know, it's not gonna last forever. But I was so in it that I was like, okay, like, I'll, like, crying and being, you know, like in my moments, and just being like, okay, I'm gonna hold on to that, I'm gonna hold on to that. I don't think for me, it was only until my son became like 5 months, like, you know, then he was, yeah, like, became more of like an actual baby, right? I feel like in the, yeah, beginning, yeah, they're not a baby. I mean, I know they are, obviously.
But they're like a plant, you,
yes,
know?
It's like,
just keep them alive.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just like in survival mode, and you're freaking out, yeah, about everything. And then once they, yeah, can kind of maybe, you know, roll, or like start to just like be a little more upright and have their, you know, ideal weight, that's always the best, right? That's yeah, when they can sleep longer. That's when I realized, oh my God, like, you're so fun and you're so cute. And yeah, then 1 year passes, because my son just turned 1, and you're like, wow, like, how, first of all, how did I do that, right? Because that's amazing.
Yeah.
And then 2, these moments are the ones that you cherish. So like, I do take time to like, if he needs to be nursed or like rocked a little, I'm like, I'm not going to get this back. You know, like, it's such a special moment. So now I don't care. Whereas like before, I'm like, you need to go to sleep. Like, I don't want to rock you anymore. Like, it's just funny how you look back and appreciate those moments. But that's like the beautiful part about motherhood. So yeah. My podcast, because we're wrapping up, is called The City Confessions. So I wanted to ask you, Flor, if you can share a confession with all of us. And this could be anything that you feel comfortable with speaking about. And it could be about motherhood, career, personal. And I know you're probably like, what do you mean? What's a confession? But what is something that you feel like a lot of people don't know about you that you want to, you know, put out there and clarify, or like something you don't normally talk about but can share right now with the audience? Just anything that you don't feel like is like known about you.
I didn't think about this answer.
I know.
Beforehand.
I'm taking a sip of my coffee, so you can take your sip. I feel like if I told you that I was going to ask you this, you would come very prepared, and it wouldn't be as organic.
I feel like what maybe a lot of people don't know is like I'm more of an introvert and not like an extrovert. What I feel like what most people that do social media is like people that love talking to others, and for me, it's more like if I go to an event, if I go to a show during Fashion Week or anything like that, that I need to like come back and like recharge my batteries, because I'm like, I'm exhausted. I'm like, I don't want to see anyone at all. And what I want to say is like, maybe that's normal and that's okay. It's not that you dislike people or that you dislike like talking or socializing, but yeah, I feel like I would like to normalize more that you can be okay with not enjoying like 100% like being all the time out there socializing, meeting new people and talking to new people. I feel like a lot of our jobs is being out there and making connections, and sometimes I think that can be tiring, that can be maybe not super fun for someone that maybe would rather be at home, like reading a book or doing something like that.
No, I agree. I call myself like extroverted introvert because I am extroverted. Like I'm naturally extroverted. I feel like I love talking. That's why I have a podcast. But at my core, I'd rather be like home. And honestly, I don't know if this is how you feel, but sometimes when I see events, like the other day I got an invite and it started at 7. And I was like, that's too late. Like, I'm not going to that event. You know what I mean?
Past like 6 p.m., which is like when my daughter like usually has dinner and then goes, I'm like, I don't think so.
I'm like, no,
I'm
not
doing that. And if I see something like 9 p.m., I'm like, oh no. I'm definitely not going.
And I think that's what changed my perspective on Fashion Week, because in the beginning, in the first few years, I loved it. But then I got invites for like after parties, and it would be like the coolest after party. Don't get me wrong.
But I know it still
wouldn't entice me. Like, I'm not going out at 10 or 11. Like, you know, those parties would start super late. But
I think it's like a bit of like growing up, and at the same time, like being a mom also, like you're like, oh, that's too late. You know, like tomorrow I need to still wake up at like 6. So it's like, maybe.
I know. I love that. Okay. So I have a fire round of New York City questions before we close out. I'm going to ask you 5 questions and you answer with the first word that comes to your mind. Okay. So what is your favorite thing about New York City?
I love the city. I feel like it has like a soul, you know, like that's what I love the most.
What is your least favorite thing?
How expensive it is.
If you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
It's crazy.
What's your go-to spot? Like favorite restaurant, cafe?
I love walking Central Park. It's something that I try to do as often as I can.
And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
It definitely made me stronger, more resilient.
I love that. But thank you so much, Flora, for being on my podcast. Right now is your chance to plug away. I'm going to have all of your information in the show notes, but are you working on any secret projects? Do you need support in anything? Like, let us know.
Marian's probably going to put this, but you can find me everywhere as Flo Pereira, which is F-L-O-P-E-R-E-I-R-A. That's my name. And yeah, I'm like working on things. I feel like we're always like doing stuff on the side. Right now, like really working on my YouTube channel, like trying to grow my audience over there. So if you want to check out my YouTube channel, that'd be great. And yeah, like trying to like get back, I feel like after being a mom, you know, like you're always like getting back into the swing of things, especially like with a new year. So hoping for a great year for both of us.
I love that. Thank you. Well, again, Flora, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with me. And for everybody else, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Feel free to share this and save this. And I will talk to you all next week. All right. Yes. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.